I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Apparently, the Independence Avenue Bridge has been rather hungry the last couple of days.
Yep. Twice in 2 days after 161 days accident-free. That is a record. That is a record. This is according to the Independence Avenue Truck Eating Bridge website. 161 days accident-free as of May 13th.
And then
two hits in 2 days. She is clearly making up for lost time.
Will they ever learn?
No, they will not.
Okay.
The curtain rod wind chime thing is obviously not doing its job.
Well, the last time Dana and I were there, which was like a little over a year ago.
It was on the ground.
It was on the ground.
Yeah. It's very, very tough to do its job on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't inform truck drivers that they're about to hit the bridge.
Right.
When you're laying over here on the ground.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, real quick. I've got to just, this is going to be a grievance of mine, and I know that the law, I know that the law is the law. But jaywalking is also against the law. Can we agree on that?
It is, but rarely enforced, yes.
A friend has been charged.
A friend of yours?
Nope.
Oh.
With giving beer to the fan who fell from the bleachers at the Cubs-Pirates game.
Because he wasn't 21?
He's 20 and like however many weeks. Now, theoretically, is it illegal to sip on a beer when you're like more than 2 years post the time that we would send you off to war?
Yes,
yes
it is.
It is.
He legally, did not fall. Theoretically.
He did not fall because he was drunk. I don't think anyone ever said he was drunk. He might have had a beer. He jumped up in excitement.
He was very excited.
For that two-run RBI, hit the railing at the exact wrong place at the wrong time, and did a loop-de-loop flip over that thing like Mary Lou Retton.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going to charge a 21-year-old for handing a 20-year-old beer.
Law's law, Dana.
Is it, Scott?
If you're having a house party and you happen to be 21 years old and you go out and buy a case of beer and there are people in that house party that are under the age of 21 years old and the police show up and you're the only guy over the age of 21 or gal, whatever, you are getting charged for every single person in there that is drinking.
He's been charged with furnishing alcohol to a minor. This guy is going to be 21 in what, 2 weeks?
We don't know.
Five? Maybe I don't care. I don't care if it's 20 weeks.
Maybe it's 50 weeks. Maybe he just turned.
Can't 20. We just say that sometimes crap happens? Sometimes bad things happen to perfectly good people who are not doing anything wrong.
Dana, if you're asking me, do I think the police should charge him? The answer is no. Now, is it the guy that he was standing next to at the game? Well, for a minute, he was
his
standing
buddy
next to him.
Purchased
but then he wasn't.
Two, really? Listen to this.
Well, he wasn't.
His buddy purchased two cans of Miller Lite.
Probably
one for him,
bucks.
One for his buddy. Two cans of Miller Lite.
Right.
Sometimes bad things just happen. Do we really charge furnishing an alcohol to a minor? Newsflash, a 20-year-old is not a minor.
No, that's true. Well,
I have to be honest with you. Falling 21 feet and landing on your head, I hope he was drunk.
In a weird way, I understand what you're
alive.
Saying.
If he wasn't, at least a little bit.
I actually feel more sorry for the friend who didn't fall. First, you had to watch one of your best buddies fall on top of his head, and then you get charged with giving him a beer. Dana, I agree with you. I don't think he should be charged. I think police have more important things to do.
He had two beers total inside of the park. Are we really going?
Those are big beers, so let's be honest what this really is. That's four. That's a total of four.
Unbelievable.
And nobody ever drinks before the game.
He would be so upset. Well, he is so upset that his friend is being charged for this. Give me a break.
Probably. How did they find out that he was?
They poured over surveillance video. And do you know why they did that, Scott? Not in the interest of justice. Let's call this what it is. The team doesn't want to be sued. The park doesn't want to be sued. So they scrambled, said, let's go figure out where these guys were sitting. Please, God, tell me that he was smashed out of his gourd, which he was not.
We don't know that, but well, they could have pre-gamed.
Right. You know exactly why they tracked down that surveillance footage, yes. And it's not because they cared or they wanted to get to the bottom of it. It's because they don't want to be sued, and they want to be able to say, well, sorry, you shouldn't have been having a beer here when you're almost 21, but not quite. I mean, give me a break.
You're right. This was the team combing through every bit of surveillance footage that they could possibly find.
It's a CYA effort.
That's right. They don't want to get sued. Do you blame them? Now, once the team, this is the Pirates, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Once the Pirates figure out, you know, well, this buddy bought two beers, handed it to the fall guy.
Stop.
You know, they obviously gave that over to the police department. I think the police department would say, well, Pirate ownership, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for your time. I'm assuming that the police in Pittsburgh or Allegheny County in Pennsylvania have more important
things to do than
say we're charging you with furnishing alcohol.
You know
to
why?
A minor.
Because there's a hearing in the case coming up, Scott. He is going to go to court over this. Yeah, probably have to pay a fine. And the only reason they're doing this is because they want some plausible deniability when the lawsuit hits.
Well, they got it. Now they've got it. I'd like to know who the intern was who had to pour through all that video footage.
Right. We're going to give you a bonus of a signed baseball by your favorite player.
Speaking of lawsuits, a family is suing a California funeral home claiming that workers misplaced their loved one's body and dressed another corpse in his clothing.
Oh, God.
When Amantha Hunt's 80-year-old uncle died, she chose Harrison Ross Mortuary in Compton to prepare him for his burial. But when she went to view his body, she says that wasn't him. It was a guy laying there in my uncle's suit. But it wasn't my uncle, said Hunt.
And then they argued with her. They go, yeah, it is. She goes,
I didn't make arrangements there to see the wrong body. Hunt says that she has to work at the mortuary to help once she realized something was wrong. She was like, oh, yes, that's your uncle. And I said, that is not my uncle. I showed her a picture. She said, yeah, you're right. That's not your uncle. Give us 1 minute.
Oh, my God. The fact that they argued with her before. I remember what my uncle looked like. In life and in death, that is not him.
They even showed them a picture of her uncle, and the lady at the mortuary said, yeah, you're right. That's not him. By the way, that 1 minute turned into 3 hours that it took to find
the correct decedent.
That is correct.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Do we regulate that industry at all anymore? Because I feel like about once a week, that story is in our stack. Either where there is a rotting corpse that's just laid out, and that was in Kansas City.
Yeah. Or 200 rotting corpses.
Yeah, or
Colorado.
Or the old switcheroo. Yep. We're not sure who this is. Yes, it is. No, it's not. I mean, it's about weekly that's in our stack.
Well, you said, do we regulate it anymore? Did we ever?
I would assume that is an area of service that is regulated. Yeah.
What would the regulation be? Don't put the wrong body in the ground?
Yeah, at the very least, that should be written down somewhere.
It is highly regulated.
Is it really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You know what's apparently not regulated? Our airports. Did you see what happened at O'Hare? Funny, not funny?
Yeah, this is
weird. Sam.
Another near miss?
Oh, no, 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 no,
no. No.
I would argue this is worse.
O'Hare International had a bit of a security scare over the weekend, but it turned out it was just a food delivery. A DoorDash driver was en route to his destination when he, quote, accidentally drove into an unauthorized secured area within O'Hare Airport. Despite the strict rules at the Chicago Airport pickup and drop-off areas, the delivery person entered the secured area before a worker realized he wasn't supposed to be there.
Is anyone missing their Chick-fil-A? Officer? Officer, is this yours?
Pilot to ATC, we have a DoorDash driver on runway 4.
He crossed runways, Sam.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, did he really? I didn't see that.
The driver was somehow able to make it through secured areas and even crossed runways, according to CBS News. The individual then reportedly drove for miles on the interior of the airport before being caught. It was a 36-year-old man who, quote, accidentally drove into that secure area.
Why are these roads so long?
Why is there an airplane barreling straight toward me?
By the way, the story does point out it is unknown if the person who ordered the DoorDash
got their order. Right. I'm going to go with no, they did not, because that man left in handcuffs. And I do have to ask you, I'm sorry, 36-year-old driver, we don't know anything more than that.
They say it was clearly a mistake.
How do you not know that you are driving on a tarmac, quote, for miles? Your first clue, may I?
Would be the plane right next to you.
Would be the planes! How does this happen?
Something tells me that this driver is either not very bright or maybe has the psychosis we were talking about a little while ago.
Have you ever looked at what the lines look like?
They make no sense.
You would never in a million years think, quote, I'm on a road here. No one would make that mistake.
I don't understand. Like every once in a while, I'll look out the window, you know, on a plane as we're getting ready to take off or just landed, whatever. And they've got, you know, A1 and C20. I don't even know what these things mean. I'm assuming that that's some sort of runway designation or whatever. The lines are never straight. They're always jagged, like the Charlie Brown t-shirt.
Yep.
I have no idea how pilots know where they're going.
Why are there so many lights?
It's so weird.
Dude.
Sam, oh, by the way, this was during the day. So don't even try to think, well, maybe it was dark and he didn't know. And if it was dark, by the way, you would see all the glowing light bulbs on the runway.
Why was there
broad daylight, Sam.
Why was there an open gate for him to drive through?
I don't know, Sam.
Honestly, that's the main concern, not the fact that he got in.
Oh, they did say it was a very bad security breach, and they're working to fix it. And then, oh, here's the best line in the story.
but wait, there's more.
So an former air traffic controller telling CBS News that incidents like this are a major safety concern for the airport and don't happen very often. Do they happen at all?
They, quote, don't Chick-fil-A, happen man? Very often.
I got some Chick-fil-A, man.
Give me a break. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So the NFL owners have voted to allow NFL players to participate in the 2028 Olympics when flag football will be a competitive sport.
Good.
Well, I think we already know who's going to get gold.
That's phenomenal.
That's going to be one of the most boring competitions.
No.
They're going to wipe the slate clean of any and all other teams.
But we have to start somewhere, and that is such a huge growing sport, especially for women. Right here in Kansas City, you heard Roger Goodell say they are very, very serious about broadening flag football. Lee's Summit here has like 3 or 4 teams, don't they, Sam?
The Players Association may have voted in favor of this, but if Patrick Mahomes can't play basketball on his off day in the middle of the off season, you think they're going to put him on a flag football field? If he tears it, I don't even want
to. I think they're just trying to. I know. I think they're just trying to expand the sport, Sam.
If something bad were to happen while he were on that Olympic field, the $450 million man is.
I think what we're looking at is whoever the quarterback is for the U.S. National. Now, maybe in this first year, in 2028. maybe, you know, kind of like the Dream Team in 1992, they have, you know, Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and, you know, Stephon Diggs at wide receiver and, you know, name your marquee players. And then it starts to lose its luster where with the NBA players, it's hard to get some of the biggest name superstars to play on the national team anymore because, you know, they've won their gold, they're done. I got my gold medal. I don't need to play. Or their teams, like you said, Sam, are having it written into their a rider in their contract where as long as you play for name your NFL team,
you're not allowed to do
it. You are not allowed to play basketball. You're not allowed to go skydiving. You can't compete in the Olympics because if you lose a, you know, starting quarterback who's got a $300 million contract and you lose him to the Olympics, I mean,
do you remember a couple of years ago after we won back to back? Well, I guess last year, the starting quarterback for the Olympic team for flag football said that he could beat Patrick Mahomes in football.
Yes, I remember that.
But I think there's room for both. It's like pickleball and tennis. We can all live together in harmony. It doesn't have to be a competition. It really doesn't.
What do you mean?
There's room for both sports.
There is no role for linemen in flag football.
Especially for women. I'm just saying. I don't want to name another activity, but we have a lot of activities in the Olympics. Okay? We have a lot.
Breaking.
Breaking would be a great example, Sam, of something that, you know, none of us really had that on our bingo card this last go around. Not sure we'll have it on our bingo card
again. It's already been removed from the Olympics have already removed breaking.
That is correct.
I mean,
it's gone.
Ping pong.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
I watch it.
That's pretty exciting.
Especially the ones that serve where they hold it up really high and there's this dramatic pause and flare and then they let her rip.
Well, I have a ping pong table and that's not what the games look like in my basement.
Do we need to have a Dana and Parks ping pong tournament?
I would love that. I put English on mine. I'm just
ready to
get
cooked.
I think English on mine. I'm just warning you.
I grew up with a ping pong table in the basement.
I have a ping pong table in the basement.
Let's go.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
I come up with great ideas. What do you want?
Well, now she's going to want to play ping pong. She's going to beat me because I'm not very good. And then I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Yeah, but I'm going to win. So that's what's important.
All right. A new survey finds that nearly half of Gen Zers admit to lying on their job applications.
Uh-huh.
47% indicate that or admitted to falsifying some aspect of their job applications to fit the mold that they think employers are looking for. 39% of millennials admit to lying on their job applications, 20% of Gen Xers, and only 9% of baby boomers. Probably because most of them are retired. A spreadsheet detailing the survey data, which was provided to Fox News Digital, indicates that a majority of Zoomers, Gen Z, lied in key areas such as work experience.
Oh, that's a big old red flag.
Job responsibilities and job title. Huh.
Now, I have to be honest, as I was going through college and entering the workforce, I was told over and over again to fluff my resume to the best of my ability.
Fluff.
But does fluff mean lie or exaggerate?
Well, where does that gray area live in your world? Because if you say, I worked at company X and you did not, that's not fluffing, that's lying.
That's a lie.
If you say that you were the regional manager to the assistant of the assistant manager...
Well,
that's fluff.
Here's what I would guess is a pretty common.
What did Dwight Schrute call himself on The Office?
The assistant to the regional manager. Yeah. Not the assistant regional
now,
manager.
If you said on your resume you attended the University of Kansas,
absolutely true,
and you didn't graduate, that's not. I don't even know that that's a fluff.
I had that on my resume until I finished that stupid French class. I was hired at Channel 5, and my resume said broadcast school, attended broadcast school from this year to this, all 4 years at the University of Kansas. It did not say graduated from.
What would you do if you were a manager and you had hired somebody like 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they were a really good employee, brought in a lot of money, and somehow, some way, you found out that they had lied on their resume or original application?
Private corporation?
Yeah. They're a great employee, but they lied 5 years ago when you were trying to hire them.
I think a lot of managers would say, okay, if they lied about that, what else would they lie about?
They're not lying about how much money they're making yet.
Right?
I would actually entertain that for a segment. You know, if you're a boss or an HR manager How significant is the lie on the resume or on the job application?
I knew of someone years ago who stated on a resume that they graduated from this specific college with this specific degree.
And they did not.
Not only did they not graduate from that college with
they
that
never
degree,
even went.
I think like maybe they went 3 months. You know, something that would just not even be. Huh. And to me, I always just assume people are going to verify. Not maybe verify your exact job title or your duties of that job, but at least verify things generally, like you worked somewhere that you claim you worked.
See, I must have been a lazy supervisor. For example, I hired Sam. How many years ago was that?
I think seven now, six. I don't know.
Was it okay? I'm assuming you gave me a resume of some capacity.
No.
You didn't?
Nope.
Okay, good. Then I didn't check. I've never, ever checked on a single person that I hired here.
But I used the term earlier in the show, janitor or custodial engineer.
Right. What's the difference?
Same thing.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
I'm Emma Grede, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grede, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, now you might be able to get away with this one. Somebody writes in, I lied on what I was making at past jobs to bump up my offer pay. That would be a hard one to check because, you know, did Scott work there? Yes, he worked here from, you know, August of 2000.
What'd you make? $720,
what
give
did
or
you,
take.
What did you pay him? Because he says you paid him $130 here. Oh, we paid him about $30, not $130. Oh.
Yeah, you can't exactly demand previous pay stubs.
Somebody says they're all in on the Dana and Parks ping pong tournament. Okay.
Good.
See, this is how these things get started. Jacob in Platte City. Jacob, hello.
So I never hid the fact that I did not graduate high school, but anytime I've ever filled out a job application, I don't know why. Did it ever matter? I have no idea. But in the spot where it always says highest grade completed or did you graduate high school, I've always checked yes. Have I ever been asked to produce a diploma? No. And that's maybe been through the course of my life 8 times.
Okay. And you're about how old now, Jacob?
32.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I've been at the job I'm at now for 10 years, so all the others would have been like short stints, like Domino's, kid jobs, stuff like that.
Did your current job ask you what the highest grade you completed was?
I'm best friends with my boss. Okay. He knows full well.
Okay, good. All right. Good. You know, it doesn't bother me, Jacob. You know when it would bother me? If you're applying to be a surgeon, then it would really bother me.
Well, at that point, you have to present your credentials.
Do you know how many people don't? How many times do we have that story on our stack that someone goes to the back of someone's van for butt injections, ends up dead, and then wonders why?
Well, I don't think they're working for a clinic. Their clinic is their van.
Wasn't there someone in the stack a couple weeks ago that was moonlighting as a dentist out of their apartment and wasn't a dentist? Like, wasn't even a dental hygienist.
No, it wasn't a dentist. It was somebody who, I believe it was in New York City. They were removing butt implants.
In a strip mall location that they owned and operated with zero licenses to do so.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I think, like, you know, there's lying on the resume, then there's lying on the resume.
Also, they're going to know pretty quickly once you, you know, cut into the first person. You don't know what you're doing.
But it keeps happening, Sam. And then here's my other question. Like, and I'm not making fun of, I'm not victim blaming or anything. But why is it that the butt injection or uninjection is always at the top of the headline? It's not like someone was pretending to be a rhinoplasty person or someone was pretending to do breast augmentations. It's always the butt injection is like the entry level scam. I'm not qualified, but I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at this. No pun intended.
Okay. That's a heck of a good question. Probably because it just seems easier.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
And so when you see there's a great point for BBL.
Is that what it's called, BBL?
Brazilian butt lift, yeah.
Oh, God.
$200, you're like, oh, everybody else charges $10,000. I got to go to this guy. It's only $200.
Right next to that Domino's pizza. We got a smokes for left on the right, a Domino's on the left.
And why is it a Brazilian butt lift? What did Brazil ever do to the butt?
I don't know. I'll keep that comment to myself.
I don't know.
Can you say to my ear?
You know me. I don't have an issue with plastics. I love plastics. I just feel like with that one particular procedure, it's opened the door for scam artists, and I don't know why.
Dustin in Kansas City. Dustin, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey. So I would say as a hiring manager, I think we just kind of assume now everybody flubs and fluffs things a little bit, especially in an age in social media where that's just kind of normal. I think at that point, it's kind of up to the hiring manager. It kind of falls under their job responsibility to do due diligence to kind of find the lies when you're doing research on who you're going to offer a position to. And if you miss it, it kind of falls back on you.
Dustin, how hard is it to verify the college degree?
You can always request college transcripts before offering a contract.
I wouldn't know where to find my college.
Or do you just Google search it, Dustin?
I don't think you can Google search college transcripts, but if the applicant really wants a job there, they should be able to produce even unofficial transcripts before you offer.
Huh. Okay.
All right. Here's Dustin, I hear
you. I would just Google Scott Parks University of Kansas and look for you in the, I know I pop up and I know I pop up in a year that I didn't really, you know, my quote graduation walk down the hill year does not match I took that last stupid French class year. So
because you graduated from Washburn.
No, I did not. My diploma says from the University of Kansas, the year 2000. And anytime anyone has asked, like at KU, I'll say, you'll notice I'm an alum. It's going to pop up as the year 2000. And if that seems bizarre to you, it's because I was there from 92 to 96 and then didn't actually get the piece of paper until I finished that
stupid. Lots of people go to college for eight years. They're called doctors.
I'm just saying I have explained why it looks like those dates don't align.
By the way, you are not the only Dana Wright to have attended the University of Kansas, by the way.
Stop it.
Because I just Googled Dana Wright University of Kansas.
Really?
Just so you know, you don't pop up. But another one does.
Wait.
What year?
She does not pop up.
Oh, stop it.
Google
diploma.
Dana Wright University of Kansas does not pop up.
Yes, it does. Oh, there is another one. Oh, that's a math person. Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah, she is the managing director of Math Venture Partners.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Her superpower is helping leadership with the operational challenges that come with scale and positioning for a strategic exit. I wish that I had my original resume because I came out of college, business classes, you know. I thought that I had perfected the resume. Mm-hmm. And I walk into Mark Groves' office. You guys probably remember Mark Groves. He used to do all the commercial
production.
He was
in charge
here.
Of production, yeah.
And I did an internship with Mark Groves before I started working here. And the first thing he did, we sat for about 4 hours, and he would say, now, what does this mean? And I'd be like,
oh, my God, Mark.
I don't know.
Wow.
What does this mean? I don't know. And he gave me professional ways to say everything on my resume, where if I tried to describe to you what that phrase meant, I would have no response. But it made me sound more official.
Did I ever tell you that I put on my resume? And this was true. At KU, they had an emerging leader program and an established leader program. And I was identified as an emerging leader. And I think we went to like one meeting or something, and I don't really, but I put it on my resume because it sounds great.
Did you put emerging or established?
No, I put emerging. All right. I wasn't established. I was emerging. It was emergent in an emerging kind of way.
Do you have to emerge before you can establish?
Yes.
Okay.
One has to emerge first. Okay. And I went and did an interview for a board position, a camp on campus board position for a club, if you will. Mm-hmm. And of all the things on my resume, I mean, all the stuff I'd done with broadcasting, all this stuff.
Yeah.
One of the women in that room goes, well, I'm telling you, I love your resume. Very impressive. But I want to know more about this emerging leader program.
I emerged.
Scott.
There's a leader that emerged.
That's exactly what I said. I went. Well, I go, I'm glad you asked.
Thank you for the opportunity
for me to explain.
Yeah.
Emerging as a leader is when one has not yet fully emerged as an established leader.
Yes.
And I am still in the emergence of
Emergent.
My emerging leadershipness. And then eventually it is my hope that I will be more established than
emerging. So you basically word saladed your way out of that.
I didn't get the job.
Did they give you a diploma or did that not happen until after you graduated from Washburn?
It didn't happen until after I graduated Washburn. No, no, stop it.
Got it.
Stop what I said.
Got it. Just walked right into that
May the record reflect.
I was long established by that point, by
see,
the way.
I will say this.
And
thing.
I wasn't lying. I want to be clear. I really was.
You went to one meeting. That's like if I went to one Boy Scout meeting.
I emerged. I went to that meeting and I emerged.
I was a member of the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Well, it's like putting on the resume.
I went to the meeting and I emerged as a leader.
No, you didn't.
I thanked
you emerged
them.
From the meeting.
I thanked them for tapping me as an emerging leader. So this, but let this be a lesson to your kids. If you're going to put it on that resume,
be prepared.
Be prepared to answer. And what I should have said is, we never really did anything with it. I would prefer to be an established leader. I work to do that every single day. But I was honored to be recognized as someone who has contributed enough at such a, you know, my freshman year that I'm emergent in my emerging.
Go to the Harvard bookstore, buy a sweater, throw it on, stand in the quad, take a selfie. Use that as your resume picture.
I went to Harvard.
I went to Harvard.
It's not a lie.
That's right. I did go to Harvard.
One of my kids, I'm trying to remember, she went to Yale. It was either Princeton or Yale.
They're all the same.
And wanted to get the sweatshirt. And I said, you know, you went into the bookstore. You could actually say I went to Princeton.
The bookstore.
Once on that one day, I popped in and I spent $40 and I left.
The telephone number here is 913-586-7798 on Dana and Parks. From the text line, Scott, if you went to one Boy Scout meeting, you were a Boy Scout, but you, sir, were not an Eagle Scout. You know where to stab me to make it hurt real
He ended
bad.
With the I tried badge.
Also from the text line, yeah, I went to the Missouri Institute of Technology. You better believe I put MIT on my resume.
All right. From the USA Today, the average American family in 2025 should have at least $35,000 in emergency savings, according to a new report.
Wow.
That tab represents 6 months of emergency expenses for the typical American household, totals about 2/5 of that household's annual income.
And by the way, stories in the past have said that like 70% of Americans
couldn't even
muster up $1,000 in an emergency.
Okay, they had a car emergency or something like that. Yeah.
What percentage of that percentage is fortunate enough to have a safety net where if you needed, for whatever reason,
right,
your roof collapses on, you know, whatever, you would have mom, Scott, or you would have some means to get that money.
Jim, it says here most American households don't have that kind of cash just lying around. The $35,000 figure is 4 times the median balance in the combined checking and savings account of the average American household. The average American household has in checking and savings combined access to $8,742. Roughly 1 in 5 Americans have no emergency savings account.
Mm-hmm. I also think, not to be the yabut here.
Okay.
If they are surveying anyone with children in college, those years don't count. Do you know how much money I would have if I didn't have 3 and then 2 people in college at the same time? Like, there are times that I look at this, and my mom has said this to me, Scott. She's like, that's not normal. It's not normal. Don't beat yourself up. It's not normal.
Okay. Researchers now say there is no water on Mars.
Oh, okay.
None.
What about that random planet they found a while back?
That's different.
So are you talking about Planet 9?
I don't know. It had a bunch of letters and numbers.
Oh,
they said that
that was in a different galaxy.
Looked at it with the Webb telescope and saw that there was gas that could only be created if there was water on the planet.
Right. No, that's in a place that we'll never be able to get to.
Oh, okay.
You know, I follow this Neil Tyson deGrasse.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Or deGrasse Tyson, thank you. Well, I just, I watch his I know you do. I know you are fascinated
by this stuff.
And there's another guy, another astrophysicist that I follow. He's British, but his name, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think his last name is Dixon or something. I don't remember. But anyway, they said there is no chance in hell that humans will ever step on another planet, you know, in the very even distant future, except Mars. There's no way. Venus is too hot. Mercury's too hot. We'll never, ever get out of the Milky Way galaxy.
I also nerd out on this stuff, and they're currently working on what's called...
Well, we've never been on the moon. When do we do that?
Oh. I don't know.
I'll try again tomorrow.
No, say it.
They're currently working on something called warp technology, which they don't even know how they're going to get that done yet. And the issue with that is if they do perfect warp technology, they're literally bending time. So when they go to the far-off planet and they come back, it'll be like 2 million years later. That doesn't exactly work.
It just makes my brain hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it fascinating, but it makes my brain hurt. Today is National Streaming Day. Streaming has been around since 2008. Huh. It's World B Day, National Be a Millionaire Day. I'd love to celebrate that.
Let's all celebrate that.
Celebrating birthdays today, Cher is 79, and Busta Rhymes is 53. Mm-hmm. These are important birthdays today. Oh, and Dan Wilson, who wrote and sang, Dana, one of your favorite songs, Closing Time by Semisonic. He is 64 today. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.